Hello, everybody. I just so wanted to be able to update you, tell you some stories and all that's going on in our lives because of you and your generosity and your kindness. Thank you so much for all you've given and invested into Moldova and Ukraine during this time of crisis. We are so incredibly proud of Johannes and Charlotte and the team and others, Leo, Sam, who are out in Moldova, just standing in the freezing cold so many times at those borders, just loving people who are running for their lives. And your money is making a difference. We are so grateful for your generosity. And I want to say right now, the money that you have been giving is already in Moldova, in the hands of Johannes and Charlotte, making a difference. In fact, just a few days ago, Johannes and Charlotte went and bought another 90 mattresses, beds, duvets, pillows, you name it, to convert a church into a refuge centre. Since the beginning of this crisis, 97,000 people crossed into Moldova in the first week. In the next 3 days, a further 150,000. In the next 2 days, a further 125,000. And now the numbers are increasing. In fact, if Odessa falls on that southern hemisphere by the Baltic Sea, or the southern part of Ukraine would probably be better to say, if that falls, then the corridor, which is the closest, is Moldova, and people will run there. So Mariupol, Odessa, on that southern coastline of Ukraine, they are coming up to Moldova. So we're seeing an increase. And Moldova is the poorest country of Europe, but they have big hearts and they are serving and helping. And we have Johannes and Charlotte right in there. They lived in Ukraine for over 20 years, then in Moldova for over 10 years. Charlotte, bless her, speaks Russian, Ukrainian, Moldovan, Romanian, English, Danish. So she's perfectly fitted to serve all these communities in their languages and help them. They're at the border with the border guards, helping them and just answering questions. They are taking refugees home. She said they're bringing them home for rest, recovery, and then relocation. And so they're also helping take them from Moldova to the Romanian border, putting euros in their hands, paying for buses, trains, etc., so that they can get to relatives or friends further into Europe, whether that's Romania, Poland, apparently Italy quite often, and of course, right across every nation. And so they are just being incredibly kind. And the stories again and again of being in the right place at the right time. So your money is an incredible gift. Several of you have asked questions, and I'll just take a moment to answer them. We are doing our best to make sure that the money stays secure. We are transferring it as euros and keeping it in euros, because this is quite helpful for people as they're traveling across Europe, because it means that they can change it. The Ukrainian currency is now pretty well worthless. So these dear people fleeing, even with all the money they've got, still are unable to buy anything. And so Johannes and Charlotte are just rescuing them, bringing them to a place of rest, helping them relocate, find family, and helping them pay for their journeys, etc. We are sending the money fairly frequently. And as you're aware, Moldova is now in the spotlight. Even our government has chosen Moldova to send humanitarian aid, but it is right on that border. And so we are watching it carefully, and with Charlotte and Johannes, sending money maybe every 3 days, so keeping it smaller amounts, just aware that the economic and political situations could change. But we're doing everything we can to secure your money and to make sure that it is safe. Again, you have asked, is money the best thing? And Charlotte and Johannes say, yes, it's the best thing that we can give them. Many people are being incredibly kind, you know, making beautiful boxes, driving hours to bring it to the Romanian and Moldovan border. But at this time, both Moldova and Romania still have good structure and accessibility to the basic goods, blankets, food, etc. So they are able to buy what they need to supply the people as they come. And so they've found money is more practical than actually boxes. Dear Charlotte told me one story of just an older granny who was staggering over the border after the freezing cold, and it is very cold, you know, cat under one arm, bringing her handbag, plastic bags, dragging her suitcase, looking exhausted. And she was presented with one of these beautiful boxes that someone had been packing. And as she opened the box, there were baby wipes, baby diapers, there was sanitary wear and all sorts of stuff. And she rumpled through the box. But most of the things in this box were just not appropriate for her in her season of life or at that time. She looked at the box, shook her head, picked out the tube of toothpaste, put it in a handbag and walked on. And so I know much care has been taken to find things, but actually at the border they aren't so helpful. So Charlotte would suggest to you and to churches at this time, if you could keep those things in the country, in the cities where we're going to welcome people, and make warehouses and centres where they can come once they've got somewhere to stay. Actually, that's the place where we can really supply them with treats and things. But it's money is the best thing at this time until they are more secured. Others of you have asked, is it possible to come and help? You know, can you come and serve? At this time, because of the language difficulties, Charlotte and Johannes have said, really, unless you speak Ukrainian, Moldovan or Romanian, actually, it would be difficult because they couldn't supply the translators you would need to work efficiently. So at this crisis stage, money in their hands is best. Helpers who can speak the language, and then us being in our home places, preparing spaces to welcome refugees once they come here. I hope that answers some of your questions. Others were asking about, what about having Ukrainian refugees in your home in the UK, and how can you make sponsorship? Well, if you are able to offer your services and speak the languages, then please do write to us at office@heartcry.co.uk and put Ukraine in the heading line, and we will do our best to connect you with Charlotte Johannes and answer your requests and need. So if you're able to help by speaking languages, or you would like to have Ukrainian refugees staying in your home in the UK but like a connection, do write to us and we'll do our best to try and help you. Thank you so much. Well, let me just finish with a few real God stories. God stories of provision, protection and guidance. We have heard so many different stories at different times, but I've heard several stories. One in a woman, a pastor just outside Mariupol, where she was just cooking for those around her who were distressed and broken. They had pretty well no food, but she had a bit of pasta left. And so she became like the widow with a little jar of oil. She just kept pouring this pasta out. And every time she cooked it, it seemed to be enough. And it's just kept multiplying. This bag of pasta has just kept multiplying to feed. There was another pastor's wife just outside Kiev on the west side of the city. She's been cooking for Ukrainian sort of soldiers, young people helping, and other people who are just alone. And she said every day she doesn't know how many she's cooking for, but she just prepares the food. She was running out of flour, but she made the bread. And she said sometimes it's 100 people, sometimes it's 300 people. But even though she seems to cook the same amount and just pray, it's always enough for the people who come. God is providing. God is guiding. Several stories, many stories actually, of just men turning up, angels, I believe, just picking people up, moving them out of the way, just as a bomb was beginning to fall and they were just literally being picked up and run fast across the road so that they didn't get hurt. Someone else who was walking in a certain way and man appeared and just said, no, don't go that way, come with me, took them a different way. And as they did, a shell fell where they would have gone. Someone else was talking about that they felt a bit lost and were walking one way. People came, no, don't go this way, come with us, and took them over the river. And later they found out that the way they would have gone had been bombed and the bridge was no longer there. So many stories of divine guidance and help. And then finally, just divine protection of bullets seeming to just swerve, bombs that drop and don't explode. But one story I was told of a person walking on a road, and I think it was an anti-tank sort of detonator was in the road, or something was in the road, and they walked and they heard this noise and they thought, oh, I'm going to die, and they just prayed, God, help me. They carried on walking, and they said they carried on walking for, you know, 3-5 minutes, and then suddenly the whole thing exploded behind them, and it was just like the hand of God had held it. So there are many stories of miracles, but we're also aware there are many stories of great pain and tragedy. But I just want to say thank you for what you're giving, what you're doing. It is making a difference, and there are lives being touched and changed because the money that you have given is now in the hands of people to give them hope and rescue in this time of trouble. Thank you so much for all you're doing. I love Rachel and the Heartcry team.